Yeah, it's good. It's good to be together. Great to be here for Mother's Day. I know we were doing a series called Church for the last 3 weeks, and we're going to finish that next week. But we thought we'd better take a break and just remember some mothers and just have a great day to celebrate moms. I talked to my mom on the phone this morning, and I love my mom. She's awesome. I remember when I was young feeling like she came to my grade 7 floor hockey finals. And I remember thinking we were the underdogs and we weren't going to win. And my mom showed up and she's waving on the sidelines, you know, doing that thing. And I remember what happened to me. I'm like, it's time to win this game. And we won that game. Grade 7 champions. Yeah, you bet. And so I was just thinking about that this week, and I remember also when I was a young guy thinking, I couldn't live without my mom because I wouldn't win floor hockey games. And that was the main thing. But I chatted with her this morning, and I used to do a paper route when I was 12 years old. I started a paper route. And I was up at 6:30 Tuesdays and Thursday mornings going and delivering papers to, I don't know, 56 houses or something like that. And so my mom would get up and she'd go for a walk with her friend and we would get back to the house at the same time. And then she'd drive me to 7-Eleven every single week to go get a delicious coffee from 7-Eleven. She got coffee, I got hot chocolate. So Tim Hortons or Starbucks? Actually 7-Eleven. But but we'd go down to 7-Eleven and have the same talk almost every single time. And I told my mom I was going to tell you this, so now I have to. Some of you your dad had the talk with you. Well, my mom had the talk with me every Tuesday and Thursday morning. I only went because I loved the hot chocolate with the hazelnut creamers. We had that conversation a lot of times, but my mom invested in me a lot, and so I'm so thankful for her, and I just love mothers. Now I get to celebrate Kendall, my wife, as she mothers our kids, and I'm just so thankful for her and what she does. Moms are just worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating moms, and so we're going to take this day to celebrate them. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. That's God saying, I have wanted to gather you just like a mother hen. God is compared to a mother many times in Scripture, actually. Many times there is this comparison drawn where he says, I wish I had, or I am this way, or I behave this way, or I act this way, or I care for you in this way. Just a little side note I thought about as I read this scripture. Some of you moms have felt like your kids are not living the way that you wish they were living. Well, here God says, but you are not willing. I've longed to be that mother hen to you, but you are not willing. If you feel like your kids aren't where they should be, just so you know, even God has a hard time mothering, you know, caring for people in that way. So just want you to hear that for a moment. But God's compared to a mother several times. Matthew 23, a hen. Deuteronomy 32:11, a mother eagle. A nursing mother in Isaiah 49:15, and a mother bear in Hosea 13:8. A mother bear. Has anyone seen the IMAX polar bears? The polar bear IMAX? One person. Okay. My wife didn't raise her hand, but she's part of this story, so I don't know what's... Anyways... We went to the IMAX polar bears, and it was quite an IMAX. And when God's compared to a mother bear, that's what I think of right away. Because when we went there, first of all, how do any animals live on ice and in freezing water? It's just wild to watch that. But there's this one scene in the IMAX where the mom is hanging out with two cubs, and they're just doing what you can do in the Arctic, laying on ice. And they're just laying there, and all of a sudden, out of the distance, this male polar bear shows up. And everyone's like, oh no, what's going to happen? Because dads just aren't as good at caring for kids sometimes as moms are. And so this animal starts coming across. The narrator says he's coming to try to eat the cubs, and he may be the dad. So there it is. But anyways, this bear keeps jumping across, and all of a sudden the mama gets her cubs and like, let's go cubs. They start jumping in the water, jumping in the next. And it's this epic chase, and everyone's on the edge of their seat like, what is going to happen here? Why is this going on? Why are they letting me see this? Like, I need to close my eyes. This is not good to watch. And all of a sudden the daddy bear, the male bear, gets so close to this family, and the mom stands up and lets out this massive roar. Rah! And the dad, the male, leaves. It was amazing. The mom stands up. She's way smaller. And she says, just so you know, I will die before you get my cubs. And we left there, and Kendall's like, I think I need to get a polar bear tattoo. She's like, I'll get a full sleeve if I have to. I'll get the whole thing. So I know she was at the IMAX. I know she was there, even though she didn't raise her hand. No. That was an amazing moment when I saw that, and we realized, we talked about it after all. Isn't it insane, the love of a mother? Isn't it amazing how a mother cares for those kids so much? She's investing in these kids. Like, these cubs could do nothing against that polar bear. They could do nothing against that male. And the mom could have probably bolted, ran away, saved her own life. The cubs would have lost theirs, but at least she would have been okay, right? But the mom knows that I'm going to invest in something. I'm going to give myself to something because I believe in what these cubs are going to become. I believe in what's going to come out of their lives. It's pretty neat. Last week I was preparing a sermon, and I was sitting in this cabin that my in-laws have, and I was just there, and there was this one bird that kept flying back and forth, thinking, this bird is showing up to this cabin an awful lot, but back and forth and back and forth. And finally I looked up and realized that this bird was feeding her babies. There's little robins in this nest, and the nest is right there out the window. So I get to watch this bird feed her babies. And I thought, this bird is giving a lot of energy to feed those babies. Back and forth and back and forth. And she's coming up every single time with food that would give her energy to do that. But instead, she's giving all that food to the babies. I'm thinking, wow, that was before I even knew I was going to be speaking on Mother's Day this week. And I think, that is incredible. Look at that bird, back and forth and back and forth. And the birds, all they know how to do in life is this. All they know, they're sort of quiet, and then the mom shows up, and all of a sudden, like, ah, rah, rah. And that's all they do. They just stick their mouth in the air. Such helpless things. And I think, why is that mom investing in those helpless, sort of useless animals at this point? Because she's a mom, and she knows that something's going to come out of their lives. She knows that something is worth investing in them. Then I was putting my son down to sleep the other day, and I heard the same noise. In 1 week, I got two illustrations for the sermon. Thank you, Lord. But I hear these birds sort of tweeting outside my son's room. I'm thinking, you got to be quiet. My son's trying to sleep. So I realize that there's this bird back and forth and back and forth, same thing. And he shows up to this, or she shows up to this nest, and she's feeding her babies. And so my daughter's there with me and my son, and we're like, we gotta check this out. Let's have a little look at them. And so we open the window and open the screen, and I'm like slowly trying to peek my head out to look, have a look at what's going on. And Isabella's like, careful, Daddy, careful, Daddy. And I'm sort of peeking out, and that mama did not like what we were doing. And she came flying back angry. And all of a sudden, I'm jumping in. Isabella's screaming behind me, shut the window! And so we like close the screen and slam the door. And I'm thinking, that bird could not beat me in a fight. Like, that bird could probably not beat me. And yet that bird said, I will fight for my kids. I will fight for them because something is going to come from these lives. And I believe in it. And my entire existence, because I'm a mother, is about it. I'm going to fight for the helpless. I'm going to fight for those who can't fight for themselves. I'm going to fight for those who don't seem like they're very useful for much. Mothers are the best investors. And sometimes the investment doesn't really give the return that we think it should give. Sometimes we invest in some lives for a certain amount of time and we think, okay, if I've given that much, they should turn out a certain way, and they just don't. And we just don't see them turn out the way we think, and it just doesn't seem fair. And the reality is, our investment doesn't always provide the return we thought. But we won't see any return if we don't invest. If we don't invest in the next generation, if we don't invest in the ones that don't look like they're much right now, if we don't invest in the ones who seem like they're kind of helpless and seem like even kind of useless in sometimes, they're not very good at much, they're not very capable, they're not very, they can't do all of these things, they're just not that good. And moms have figured out, I'm going to give myself to that life, whether they're going to turn into something or not, I'm going to do it. That's a pretty special love, and one that I think us as a church could take on. Us as an entire church could look into that. I worked with youth ministry for years of my life. I've loved it. But the return is not always what you think it should be. You don't always see what you think you should see. You don't always experience what you thought you'd experience. There's lots of things that you hoped would happen, and often they don't happen. But you keep investing. Keep giving. As we get tired of it, start to say, I wish something different would happen. I wish lives would be changed more. I wish there was a 100% success rate that I could know if I give a certain percent of my life to someone, they would turn into something good. They would turn into something perfect. They would turn into exactly who I want them to turn into. It's not always the case. But God always calls us back to invest in those people. We as a church need to be thinking about the next generation. We need to have a mother's heart for the next generation. The mother's heart that says, I am going to give myself so that the promise of God can be fulfilled in those who are coming up. No matter what it costs me, or how long it takes, or what it's looking like along the way, or where it seems like they're going the right way or the wrong way, I'm going to invest myself. Because God wants to put even a mother's heart into all of us. Hagar learned God's love at one point. Hagar is a story in the Bible. Genesis 21, if you're following in your Bible, you can check it out. Genesis 21 is the story of a woman named Hagar. Actually, it's a story of more people than that. But basically what happened is Abraham, one of the patriarchs of our faith, one of the forefathers of our faith, God came to him and he was pretty old, and he said, Abraham, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you family. I'm going to give you kids. I'm going to give you offspring so numerous that they would be uncountable, just like the stars are. So numerous that they would be like the sand on the seashore. I'm going to do that for you, Abraham. And Abraham said, that's wild. But okay, we'll believe you. Sarah was his wife. And so they believed for a while. I imagine the conversations around the dinner table. Hey, isn't it going to be good when we become parents and they're getting old? There's a lot of candles on the cake as time goes on. And, more and more they started to question and started to wonder and started to think, maybe this isn't going to happen like we thought it was going to happen. And eventually Sarah, his wife, says, listen, Abraham, God promised that we would have all these kids, so we better just do it because we're not having all these kids. We better just figure it out on our own. Here's my slave. Sleep with her and have a baby with her. So she says, God promised us something. We better take it into our own hands and make it happen. So that's what they do. Hagar is the slave. Hagar becomes pregnant, gives birth to a son named Ishmael. And life goes on for a little while. Some time takes place. And then all of a sudden, Sarah gets pregnant. Way too old to get pregnant. Abraham, way too old to impregnate, but she gets pregnant. But there's this complicated situation because Hagar's had a baby. And she's still got that baby. And now Sarah gets pregnant. We'll pick up at the story there. Genesis 21, 6 to 19. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. I was struck this week by how much Sarah talks about herself in mothering, about herself in this experience. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son in his old age. Sarah sort of feels really good about herself. I don't hear God talked about at all at this point. Then the child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. Obviously, if we looked at biblical interpretation, we're considering the firstborn son, and inheritance was given to the firstborn son. And Ishmael technically was the firstborn son, but not to Sarah. And so now she's fighting for her son to be the son that she's meant to be the firstborn. So she says, get rid of this woman, get rid of her son. And so the plan that she started, that she initiated, now starts to fall apart. And she says, that's it, I can't handle it. Let's throw her out to the wolves. The matter distressed Abraham, no kidding, greatly, because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. God's promise. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Can you imagine this moment? Abraham said, okay, sorry this worked out. I know that you did what we asked you to do. I know that you followed through. I know that you had a kid, and then, you know, we've sort of tried to raise it, and you've kind of raised it, and we've sort of called it our firstborn a little bit along the way, and we've tried to make God's promise. I know we sort of told you that was sort of like the promise of God coming through you. But anyways, here's some water. Here's some food. Go wander in the desert. No help beyond that. Nothing. Imagine the hopeless situation she found herself in. Imagine how she felt. She's wandering in the desert, literally saying, I don't know where I'm going. I haven't been out of that place in years. I'm just going to wander through the desert. I'm just going to do whatever. I've got my son. That's all I know. All I know is that I'm a mother. All I know is that I'm supposed to care for this boy. And I don't even know where I'm going or how I'm going to get there or what I'm going to eat and drink along the way, because I don't have what I need. But here we go. We'll just wander out in the desert. When the water and the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bowshot away, and she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. Hagar at that point said, I care too much for this boy to watch him die, but this is hopeless. We have nothing to do. It's not going to change now. Nothing's going to change around. We're just here. We're just going to die. So I'll walk away so I can't hear him. As I was spending time in this scripture, I feel like in some ways we've done this with the youth of this generation. In some ways we've sort of said, well, the youth that are alive right now, it's hopeless. They're going in the wrong direction. There's people doing the wrong thing. They're following the wrong gods, the wrong idols, the wrong people. It seems to get worse. Drug and alcohol seems to be earlier. They're not really carrying the morals of God. There's worse things happening. I don't know about this. They're just not going to do well. It's hopeless. Let's put them under a bush over there, because we love them so much that we can't watch them die. But yes, they're going to die, and we'll just walk away over here. In some ways, I started feeling that coming up in my heart. As a past youth pastor, it's a passion of mine to see young people rise up to all that they're meant to be. I believe God places a promise on every single life. He places a plan in every single life, which is why I believe if there's still kids being born, then there's still a plan that God has. There's still something that God wants to do. There's still something that He wants to achieve in the valley and in the world and in Canada. There's still something He wants to do. He still wants to restore marriages. He still wants to restore lives. He still wants to see the schools look different and families look different and workplaces look different. He still has a plan. I know it because He keeps putting babies on the earth. He could stop that if He wanted. But He says, I'll put a promise on every baby instead of that. But I'm going to put mothering hearts in my people. Because the plan will be achieved when people will start to invest in those kids. And invest in those promises. And invest in those plans. Instead of just their own plans. Instead of just Sarah's plan of kicking out the slave woman. Instead of just that. Here, God is saying, I have a plan for that boy. So Abraham, don't worry. Because I've also put a mother in his life who's going to call it out of him. And we're called to the same. So she lays him down. I cannot watch that boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying. Wait a second, wasn't Hagar crying? Yeah, God heard the boy crying. What I love about that is God says, hey, 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 mother, I hear your broken heart, but I have a promise over here that I need you to deal with. I have a promise over here that I need you to chase after. I know it seems hopeless. I know it seemed good for a while and it's gone down. Some people in here, maybe you've had kids who are following Jesus really well and it's not there anymore. Some people, maybe you thought there was something really good happening in your kids' lives and your family's life and it's not where you wish it was right now. You said, you know what? I just need to stop praying. I'm just tired of this. I'm just not seeing anything. I'll find someone else to invest in. But God shows up to Hagar and says, Hagar, I hear the boy crying. I hear him. I hear the promises falling off of him. I hear the potential laying under a bush, unable to do anything. Hagar, Hagar. I love it. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. I think Hagar could have said, well, didn't you hear me crying? You know, what about me? I'm crying over here. This is hard on me. I just got kicked out of the house. All of these things just happened. Like, all I was obedient to my masters, and now here I am. There's nothing good going on. Don't you care about what I'm feeling right now, God? Why are you talking to me about the boy crying? Because when we become a mother, and when we take on the mothering heart, and when spiritual mothers rise up in this place, they will start to live for the potential of the coming generation. They'll start to live for the ones who are coming next. And so the greatest inspiration that can be given to those type of people is God can just show you, hey, there's brokenness. Help it. Hey, the coming generation doesn't look good. You're right. Do something about it. Care for them. Love them. Invest in them. What's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. And then here's his instruction to her, which I love. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Lift the boy up. Hagar, lift the boy up. No, I've tried that. I was just carrying him through the desert. Hagar, lift the boy up. No, we're out of water. It's not good. Hagar, lift the boy up. Restore him. Grab him. Give him life. Tell him that he's got a future. I believe that there are people in this church who have a future and won't know it until we start to tell them about it. So we start to say, hey, there's something for you. And God's not gone. God's not abdicated the throne. He's still enthroned, but He's looking for people to say, I want to follow you, Jesus, and I'm going to chase after you. He's looking for mothers and fathers and young people even in here to invest in the coming generation and say, you have a future. God has a plan. The promises of God still exist. There is potential in you. Your life is not useless. You are not useless, and you're not helpless because I'm with you. And I will restore you. And I will walk with you. See, God could have walked over and done something miraculous. He's done miraculous things in His day. He could have walked over and said, hey, Ishmael, get up. Now you're a full-grown man. Now live. But He says, I have a plan, and so I'm going to go talk to this mom. This is how He works. It's how He works. He calls people to invest. Then He says, take him by the hand. Worship team, you can come up. Take him by the hand. When I hold Izzy's hand, my daughter, I'm not saying to her, you better hurry up and come where I'm going. That's it. I'm holding your hand because I'm trying to get somewhere. I hold her hand because she knows that I'm right there. Then she knows no matter where she goes or how she pulls and does all this. I'll tell you, it's not the most efficient way to walk down the street holding a child's hand. They're bouncing all over the place. Dad, whoa, squirrel, you know, bird. I'm chasing after everything. I'm going after, wait, Dad, can we just stop here? Dad, oh! And you drop onto their back and they're flopping around. You're like, this is really fun. This is really good. And if I was just holding her hand to get somewhere, I'd just let go and I'd go get there, right? But I hold her hand because I want her to know that I won't leave her. I want her to know that whatever comes, I'm right here. I'm walking beside her. I won't move from this spot unless she's going with me. This is what God says to Hagar. Rise the boy up. Pick him up. And then take him by the hand. Let him know that you won't leave. Let him know that no matter how helpless his life seems, you won't leave. Let him know that no matter how helpless the culture looks, you won't leave. Let him know that no matter how far gone the youth of today are, you won't leave. Let them know that no matter what music they're listening to, what movies they're watching, what they're doing with their lives, who they're spending their time with, let them know that you'll be holding that hand and you will be with them. And this is what God says to Hagar. These are God's words. He says when there's some generation, when there's a culture, when there's people who are on the down and out, who are under a bush and you're just looking over here saying, I can't watch them die. It's going in the worst direction. And things weren't like they were when I was a kid. And things are worse now than they've ever been. When there's a generation under a tree ready to die, God says, hey, you and you and you and you, mothers, fathers, young people, people who will invest, you go over there, rise up that generation, take them by the hand and say, I'm not leaving you. I'm not letting go of the promise God has in your life. I'm not letting go of what God's done for you. I'm not letting go of what I believe He said about you. I believe it for you. If you can't believe it for yourself. Then God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Wait a second, weren't they so disappointed before? Didn't they have nothing before? But here she is, and the boy is down, and she's looking and says, okay, I guess I believe then. I guess I can do that, God. I guess I'll follow through on that. Whatever you say, I guess I'll do it. She says, God opens her eyes. She sees everything that she needs to do it. She sees everything that she needs to follow through. She sees all that she needs to be all that God's called her to be. To see the next generation become all that God's called it to be. If you're a mom in this room, or a woman in this room, who says, I have something to give. Whether you're a biological mom or a spiritual mom or someone who hasn't been either but wants to be, someone who maybe has had trouble having kids but says, I'm ready to invest wherever God tells me to invest. Maybe someone who's walked through some challenge and their kids are all over and you feel like you've been a failure as a mom. Any woman in here who says, God is giving me something to invest, would you just stand up? We're going to pray for you. We believe God wants to move in you. God sees the broken generation. He sees the culture that is falling away. He sees the people who are walking in the wrong direction. And He said, I have a plan for them, and that plan for them is to rise up the people ahead of them who will invest back into them. And so I just want to tell you, rise up so that you can rise them up. Take His hand so that you can take their hand. God has a plan for every single one of you. If you're standing here, God is saying, there is someone that I have for you. Go pick them up, hold their hand, and walk with them as they see the promises God has placed in them. Lord, you see these standing women. Lord, I ask for more than their feet that have stood them up. I pray for the hearts that have stood them up, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen their hearts, Lord. That discouragement would no longer reign in them. Lord, that where they've been distracted or where they've been discouraged or where they've lost hope, God, I pray, restore hope, restore faith. But let them believe that you have a great and mighty plan, Lord. That you have not abdicated your throne. You are here. You are living. You are alive and you have a great plan. plan for the youth of this day. You have a great plan for the young people that are rising up in us. Lord, I pray for the eldest to the youngest woman standing up here. She has something to offer, Lord. Let her see it. Open her eyes as you opened the eyes of Hagar. Let her see it. Let her see it. Jesus, you have a plan. And these are the people that you want to carry out your plan through. Let them see it, Jesus. Let them see it. God, I pray for the generation that is to come. Let them rise up and let them have hands to hold. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, the way that you lead us. Thank you for the mothers. Thank you for the mothers. Thank you for the moms who have invested of themselves. Thank you for the moms who said, I need to give up some of who I am. In fact, at times I need to give up all of who I am for the sake of those coming. Lord, I pray that you would rise up also young people around those mothers who have a thankful heart and encourage them along. Lord, we love you and ask that you would lead us as we try to do our best for the next generation, for the people who are coming. But thank you, Lord, that we can't do it without you. You have a plan. It's beyond our capabilities, but you've called us to it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.